Welcome to Create Photography. This is Daniel Sig. In today's episode, I will have a conversation with Genevieve Davis. Genevieve is a Laguna Beach native working as a full-time freelance photographer. Right, Genevieve, thanks so much for being here and for being on Create Photography. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Great, great. So you are a Laguna Beach native. So I'm just kind of curious if you can tell me maybe a little bit more about Laguna Beach and, you know, for those of us who are maybe not as familiar and, you know, how it maybe has been for you growing up there.
Yeah, I was really lucky to grow up in Laguna. It's probably most famous for, there was an MTV reality television series when I was in high school that basically kind of followed around a bunch of rich kids and gave our town a really bad name. Oh, yeah. But when I was growing up there, I was kind of in like a golden time where there was a lot of really talented kids in my class, a lot of artists and musicians that went on to become professionals. I went to a lot of like Ty Siegel's shows in his garage with our friends Michael Cronin and one of my best friends, Claire, and everybody kind of went on to do their creative pursuits professionally and pretty successfully. And I mean, Laguna itself is beautiful. The beaches, I think, are like the most beautiful beaches in Southern California. I'm really biased, but the water's like super clear and I still go diving down there all the time. And I had a really good experience there. I had a really great group of friends that were, like I said, extremely creative and definitely pushed me in the direction that I ended up taking professionally. And there was like, you know, a good skate culture, good surf culture, a bunch of like beach rats and stuff. So that definitely informed like who I became.
Right. Oh, that's great. And, you know, on that note, so you mentioned on your website, you're a nomadic freelance photographer. So can you tell me a little bit more about that? And maybe how did your journey lead you into professional photography?
Yeah. So I was the in-house photographer at Vans for about 4 years. And I was doing like mostly product photography there. And I was working in an office and it was like the absolute best office situation you could ever hope for. Like, you know, half day Fridays, you get, you know, there's a barista there and a gym and a skate park and like really nice amenities for employees, like kind of what you'd expect from like a Facebook or something like that. But that being said, like even in the best case scenario, I was just withering in an office environment. So on the weekends, like I would take my 2.5 day weekends and just go to Sedona and photograph, you know, the Red Rocks there, or go to Mammoth, or go to Arizona. Like I was just felt so caged in. So I think by the time I left to do freelance, I was just ready to roll. And I had bought a van like a year prior to leaving Vans, knowing I was planning on leaving Vans. And spent the year converting that Sprinter van into a tiny home, basically. Mostly actually so I could set myself up for low overhead as I transitioned into freelance photography. Because I wasn't quite sure how successful I was going to be in my first year. So I didn't want to worry about having to pay too much rent or, any kind of like significant overhead. I wanted to try to set myself up to where, even if I wasn't doing super well the first year, I could still live off my photography. And I ended up doing well, but I still lived in my van and kind of set myself up to travel a lot and just pursued my passions of traveling and shooting.
Right. That That's great. And so what kind of photography did you do when you were still in the office?
Yeah, so I did mostly product photography. So it was mostly photos of like Vans shoes or Vans apparel on like white seamless. Sometimes it was like Vans shoes and Vans apparel on colored seamless with like different environments and stuff like that. And it was awesome. It was such a good job. But I, you know, 4 years of that, I was just so sick of shooting product. Like some people really love that, but I really wanted to shoot more lifestyle. And Vans didn't really use their in-house photographers to do that. They were hiring lifestyle photographers to shoot for them. And I knew how much those lifestyle photographers made too. So I was kind of like, I want to do that. So, I just decided like I'd kind of reached the cap of what I was going to be able to do in house there. And, at the same time I was working there as a, you know, as a Vans in-house photographer, I was taking as many freelance jobs as I could on the side to kind of build up to leaving to go freelance.
Right. And so on your website, you list several of your passions. So motorcycling, surfing, outdoors, retrophile. And so if you don't mind, let's start with retrophile.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I just, I love like vintage aesthetics and I love like old music from like the 40s, 50s, 60s. And I think that's definitely like informed a lot of my photography over the years, maybe more subtly now, but I think a lot of my colors can still look like a little bit timeless or vintage. That's kind of what I mean by retrophile.
Got it. And what about the other passions? So I do see a lot of what you just list in your photography. So motorcycling, surfing, obviously where you grew up is a big surfing beach, correct?
Yeah. When I grew up in Laguna, like there's definitely people that surf there. I didn't start surfing actually until about 3 years ago, but, I did grow up in the ocean and I spent a lot of time in the ocean. So when I did pick up surfing finally kind of in my later years, relatively speaking anyway, it was like a really natural thing that I ended up just really loving. But back to your original question. I started riding when I was 23. I started saving for a bike when I was about 19. At that time I had met this guy that I was dating, and he had a vintage Triumph and I just completely fell in love with his motorcycle. Like I never wanted to get on the back. I just wanted my own immediately. So I saved money for 3 years and bought this really crappy, like old vintage Honda. It's a 1970, gosh, I can't even remember. I sold it, but it was a vintage Honda CB360. And, that kind of got me started riding bikes. And then, just naturally I started shooting my friends that rode a lot of mostly women actually. And, that kind of snowballed as a personal project into a lot of my work. And actually it's what led me to a lot of my freelance work. So, I never expected motorcycles, to be like part of my career path. It's just something I was passionate about. And I always tell people to make sure they're focusing on their personal projects because you never really know where it's going to take you.
Right. And that kind of brings me to an interesting point that you also mentioned on your website, namely that you are working in a largely male-dominated field. And so I suppose that's still somewhat the case, but how has that been for you? And maybe what have you learned? And perhaps what would you do differently?
You know, I feel like in a way it's kind of given me a bit of an advantage. There's a lot more women riding now, which is freaking awesome. But when I first started riding and shooting, it was really, really novel, for a woman to be riding a motorcycle. And, I feel like that gave me definitely a bit of an edge as a photographer. People were kind of interested in hiring someone with a bit of a different perspective. I also think because I focused mostly on women writers, it gave me an advantage because, again, I had a bit of a different story to share that was new and that people were interested in. I feel like I was kind of at the right place at the right time because there was a boom in women taking up motorcycling at the same time I started photographing that scene. So I definitely feel like it kind of gave me an advantage and an edge. As far as what I would do differently, I don't know that I would do anything differently. Mm-hmm. I'd have to think about it, but nothing comes to mind at the top of my head.
And so maybe where I was going with this question, maybe beyond, you know, the motorcycling also, you know, has it been challenging for you to enter, you know, the world of photography, you know, as a woman, maybe? Because it used to be obviously heavily male dominated, right? Maybe even almost exclusively many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great question. I've definitely felt it's been challenging at times, especially working in action sports. Even still, like creative directors and art directors in action sports are predominantly male, is what I have come to experience anyway in my personal photography journey. And it's definitely been a bit of a challenge, like being taken seriously at times. There's been times where I've like been in meetings or, you know, I don't know, different kind of circumstances where like the whole creative team would be men and none of them would really like make an effort to talk to me. They would talk to each other and, you know, all that. But yeah, I've definitely experienced challenges as a woman, and I've commiserated with other female creatives in male dominated industries. And I think, you know, the one thing that keeps me going is by taking up space and kind of being a presence and being a force, like you're making it hopefully easier for the next generation of women to enter that sphere. So yeah, that's kind of what I keep in mind whenever I incur challenging experiences.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. And that actually is a nice lead into my next question. So if you were to give maybe advice to, you know, female fellow photographers who maybe want to enter that business, do you have, I know some of it you already mentioned, but maybe if you wouldn't mind, you know, maybe you have some additional ideas.
Gosh. Yeah. I mean, I would just say like, try not to take anything too personally. I know it's tough, but just try to believe in yourself, believe in your work and, you know, the comments that people will make or, you know, the way people interact with you in the world, like, especially if you're the only female, it can be really frustrating, but just understand it's not personal and just keep going, you know? I think it's just the society we've been brought up in, right? I kind of almost feel like it's not anybody's fault, right? And people are becoming more aware and more inclusive, I think, as time goes on. So keep your head down, do your work, show up, try not to get discouraged, and know your worth, you know? Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, thanks. So let's shift gears a little bit. So let's talk about front camera. You are, unlike many, if not most photographers, actually comfortable in front of the camera. And so on your website, it's actually shown under the heading front camera. So I'd love to learn more about that, I guess.
Yeah. So I just changed it to say like talent/influencer. I was really avoiding the term influencer because I know it's kind of like a dirty word these days. but everyone I've talked to, I just redid my website. So you just saw my recently redone website. But yeah, I was just talking to a bunch of people and they were like, dude, you just have to call it what it is. Like, So I think, you know, for a while I was kind of, I used to play roller derby at the LA Derby Dolls. And also because I can ride motorcycles and kind of have a myriad of special talents. And because I live in the LA area, just naturally people would ask me if I could model for them or kind of be in, you know, certain positions in music videos or a television series or commercials or whatever, because they knew I could roller skate or ride a bike or, you know, surf or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I would get kind of like roped into doing all these things on the other side of the lens. And I was kind of just kept it on the down low, like, but during COVID, because everything kind of shut down for a while and people weren't doing full photo shoots, and right. I decided to try to shoot myself for some clients, and that became like a significant part of my income. So I've since decided to lean into it instead of kind of like playing it off, because I don't want to seem like I'm full of myself, but right. It has been helpful to my career, and it's definitely floated me during this difficult time. So I'm just gonna, moving forward, be like, yeah, I can model, I can shoot myself, I can show up to your commercial auditions or whatever, you know. So yeah, I've just decided to lean into it a little bit,
to embrace it.
Yeah,
and so does that mean when you say you photograph yourself, is that literally you're you know, go with the timer and on
yeah.
a tripod, or
oh, yeah.
do you have somebody helping you?
No, it's me myself.
Okay.
And it's hilarious, right. Actually, because like it's funny because you'll have this like, I'm thinking of the shoot I did in Joshua Tree last year. And I had to shoot, it was for a motorcycle apparel brand I work with called Outwild. They're like an all women's technical apparel brand. And, I took my van out there with my, little dirt bike and shot some like t-shirts on myself and some, technical apparel. But like the first night I was out there, it's like freezing cold, like so cold. The wind is whipping. Like I was like dying, but I was like running around, like setting up this tripod in this t-shirt, freezing my butt off, like pretending like I'm having a good time, you know, like smiling to no one, like laughing to no one. It's just, it's so ridiculous. Like if people could see me while I'm putting up these shoots, and oftentimes like I'm setting up in public places too. So people like, I'm like, you know, setting up this tripod and like laughing to no one. And there's like a couple walking by, like, it's so funny sometimes, but hey, you got to do what you got to do to get the shot.
Oh yeah. Of course. Of course. So I'm curious how has maybe being in front of the camera, helped you behind the camera? Now, of course, it's maybe not the natural situation, right? You don't have an other photographer typically photographing you. So in your situation, it's actually really unique, because you're alone, you're by yourself. But do you still think that, you know, it's still a different scenario, right? Do you think it has helped you when you actually work with other people?
Yeah, I definitely think it's been really helpful to me. So I have, prior to doing what I do now, which is shooting myself, I have worked with a lot of other photographers as a model. I used to work with this woman named Riley Kern when I was really young, starting out. I was her first assistant, and she was the first person that had me start modeling for her, because she would do these Canon classes, and she would have me model. So, and assist for her. So she did 1950s style pinup photography. So I would get like, you know, whole hair and makeup and an outfit and a backdrop and all the lights and everything. And definitely modeling for her specifically was my first kind of introduction to that side of things. And it absolutely helped me in terms of working with models in the future. Like, I feel like people kind of have this idea that models are these really beautiful, self-aware, confident humans that like are untouchable. And like, that's just not the case. Like, they're human. They have insecurities. they're sensitive, you know, and it's very vulnerable being on that side of things. So I feel like it's definitely helped me cultivate a sensitivity that I maybe wouldn't have otherwise if I hadn't been on that side of things.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, and you're right about that, right? That there's this notion of people thinking, oh yeah, models, they're always comfortable, they're always you know, they never are insecure, but of course they're people, right?
And
that's really good. So that brings me kind of about your to your creative process in your photography. So as you already mentioned earlier, and I noticed that quite a bit from your, you know, from your Instagram, from your website, you use a lot of color and natural light and vibrant colors, beautiful colors. And so I'd love to maybe learn about more about how you go about creating your imagery. You're often working with clients, I mean, sometimes with yourself, but how are you able to bring, you know, your creative process to your clients, or do they pick you because of your style, or, you know, where are you at with this? And I know there's probably not one simple answer to this, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. You know, I think it depends on the project. Like sometimes I get full creative control, but it usually is that the bigger the budget or the bigger the project, the less creative control I have. Mm-hmm. There's definitely like a collaboration regardless. Sometimes it's, you know, 90% to 10%, 10% the client, 90% Genevieve. Sometimes it's 50-50, and sometimes it's less, you know, for me. Sometimes it's 60-40, you know. Sometimes I'm just brought in to do, you know, the technical photography side of things, and I don't even do the editing on it, you know. But I definitely feel like regardless of the project, there's a collaboration usually. So yeah, does that answer your question?
and I know it was a long-winded question. So I guess what also curious about, you know, when you think about style and colors, is that something you're actively thinking about, or is it something you're kind of, some of it just kind of happens, you're more intuitive maybe about it?
Yeah, or? I think I'm more intuitive about it. I know what I like and I know what looks good to me. So I kind of feel, it's like a feeling thing, if that makes sense. Like I'm like, okay, this feels like me, you know?
Right. And are you doing a lot on the editorial side, or, you know, after in whatever Lightroom, Photoshop, or not as much? Do you feel like you want to get it right in camera, so to say?
Yeah, definitely of the mindset of like, do as much as you can beforehand, like as much in camera as you can. But I definitely still work with Lightroom and Photoshop for almost every photo shoot that I do. I do a lot of different, I guess, color, you know, I mess with the colors on all my photo shoots. And if it's, you know, like a bigger project, I'll do skin retouching and all of that stuff as well.
Sure. And you mentioned a little bit when we talked about the retro. So, you know, sometimes, so you're kind of influenced or trying to maybe create a little bit of that retro feel in your images. Can you talk more about that? Maybe how you go about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm so kind of influenced by that aesthetic from like the 40s, 50s, 60s, maybe even the 70s. It's kind of ingrained in me at this point. So I don't even, like, it's almost hard to explain because it's so much a part of how I want to see things or how I want to present things. It's like, I don't even see it anymore, if that makes sense. But mostly I think I work mostly with color to kind of capture that, that feeling and that like kind of timeless vibe.
And where do you think that influence came from, or how, what are you thinking about when you see these images, or when you think about the colors from that period, I guess? Do you have certain photographers in mind, or is it, Or is it just kind of something you see from movies or?
I think actually, strangely, from music.
Music? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was sure. in high school and even now still, like, I was really into like old country, like, you know, old like Bob Wills and Hank Williams. And I loved Bob Dylan also. And like a lot of Patsy Cline and like a lot of old, kind of folk country, rock and roll. I really liked 60s, you know, soul and garage music and stuff like that. So I think, and I used to kind of dress like old school, and I think still part of my style is a little bit influenced by that also, like my personal style. But I just always really loved, like, I don't know if I could explain it really. I've never thought about this before, but I've always just been really drawn to like the colors and just how everything kind of looked like candy, if that makes sense. And you know, those 60s Motown girls, like,
Totally.
And they're like cool cat eyes and their sparkly dresses and stuff. This looks so cool to me. And like, so music really strangely influenced my, ended up influencing my visual photography.
No, it makes a lot of sense. That's very cool. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
And So speaking of personal work, are you, first of all, do you still have time to do kind of personal photography, or do you just feel like, oh, you know, I do so much on the professional side, I'm kind of sick of it? Or do you have time to work on personal pieces?
And I have feel like I've definitely been caught up with shooting a lot of work and not shooting enough personal work. But, you know, with COVID, definitely, I was slowed down like everybody else and started thinking more about personal projects I wanted to do. And I've been shooting a lot of, like, I think, more different. Been starting to shoot, at least. I'm not really, like, very good at this yet, I think. But I shouldn't say that, actually. I should say I'm just beginning to start to shoot, like, other sports outside of, like riding motorcycles, for example, like surfing, or my boyfriend's a really good rock climber. So I've started shooting climbing, and I'm really interested in kind of shooting some more snow sports. All that stuff is stuff that I'm kind of starting to dip into, and it's just my life kind of. So I kind of just shoot whatever I'm doing. And I do a lot of like lately I've been doing, you know, my boyfriend and I just spent 2 months in Mexico surfing, and I didn't shoot as much as I maybe should have that trip. I was surfing a lot, but I did shoot some personal work down there. And then we went to Mammoth for a few weeks and went climbing, and I shot some more personal work up there. And so I try to just kind of incorporate it in my life, I guess. I haven't really gone out of my way to like set up shoots outside of my work right now, but I do want to kind of put a little like bow tie on this women's motorcycle project that I've been working on for ages. So I have like a few more shoots that I want to do that are personal in that realm. And then I'm working on like a bigger project I want to do, which is a secret right now, but I will let you know when it's when it's not.
So I'm not gonna probe then.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
I think I have an idea, but I'm not gonna I'm not gonna ask. Okay, that's cool. That sounds like, so you're definitely, so first of all, not only thinking about it, you are actually collecting additional personal work, and you're thinking about some of that, obviously, to put together potentially in some form or fashion.
Definitely. I think I went through a bit of a lull, like, you know, a lot of photographers do. I think we get caught up in our work, and then COVID was so weird. Like, I just felt so exhausted through that whole time, and still do now sometimes. And I'm just starting to kind of like push through all of that and be like, okay, it's like time to get back in the saddle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So a quick technical question. Usually don't talk much about technical stuff, but I'm curious about focal length. Do you have like a kind of a focal length you tend to gravitate towards, or that is just naturally maybe?
You know, for a long time, for most of my career, I had a 2470 2.8 Canon L series lens, and that's basically all I used. Okay. In the last couple of years, I have since acquired a 70 to 200, mm-hmm. and I love that lens. That's probably my favorite lens. But those are the two lenses I use the most. I very rarely venture outside of that. Yeah.
So you're staying within that, and then typically you zoom, so you're not usually what prime person.
No, yeah, I have a 50, but I don't use it very often, and I would like to get some super wide angle lenses, but and I, you know, if I have something specific like a job I have something in mind for, I'll just rent lenses for that.
Oh, sure, sure.
Those are like the two main lenses that I use.
Got it. Cool. All right. So I guess my second to last question, what are your plans for the rest of the year, personally, creatively, maybe job-wise?
Cool. Yeah. So I have like a busy set next month, which is great. Mm-hmm. I've got like some work for bands coming up. I've got some work for Outwild for this women's motorcycle ride out called Babes Ride Out, potentially for Harley Davidson. So that's going to be an awesome, like, busy month. Hopefully October will be the same in terms of work. In November, I do these like crazy Christmas portraits called Awkward Family Portraits. And they're like intentionally awkward Christmas pictures that you can do with yourself or your pets or your animals. And I'm just going to be doing that all November. It's so much fun. I do it once a year. And people just come and get their pictures taken, and it's a great time. And then in December, I'm actually going to move to Mammoth for 6 months, which I'm really excited about. And I'm going to be kind of like based between Southern California and Mammoth, and just come down here for work when I need to, and then be up there. I'll still have my place down here. So I'll be in the mountains for the winter, which I'm very psyched for. As far as personal work goes, I have some plans to continue working on my women's motorcycle project. Also, like I said, I just redid my website. So kind of just getting my ducks in order as far as like, cleaning up here and there, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah, it does.
And just continuing to work on surfing and, you know, all the fun things I get to do. And Yeah, it's a good life. So
wonderful. Yeah. Well, great. Well, my last question is just, where can people find you? Either website or Instagram or.
Yeah. So my website is GenevieveDavisPhoto.com with a G. And then my Instagram is @Genevieve_Davis.
All right. Wonderful. Well, Genevieve, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It was really a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
This wraps up our episode with Genevieve Davis. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at danielsigphotography.com/podcast. Thanks again, and talk to you next time.